Greeting of love to each one in the name of Christ. Welcome. It's been good to be here already. This morning I'm going to talk about something that we do a lot of, have a lot of, deal with a lot. That's our talk and our words. The Bible has quite a bit to say about the things that we say, the words that we say and the words that we use. If you would, for a springboard for the message, turn with me to 2 Timothy 1:13. Timothy 1:13, hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. All right, now let's turn to Titus chapter 2, verses 6 to 8. Young man, likewise, exhort to be sober-minded. In all things, showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. In 1 Timothy there, he says sound words. Here he says sound speech. What is sound speech? What are sound words? Well, that word sound means quite a few different things. I think Webster's has about seven different meanings in there for it. Well, when we say something is sound, we mean that it's free from flaw or defect. When loggers cut a tree in the woods and the tree is sound, it's good all the way through. It isn't hollow, it isn't rotten in the middle. And that applies to our words and our speech as well. A few more definitions: free from injury or disease, exhibiting normal health. If your health is sound, then you're good to go. You're not sick. And also free from error, fallacy, or misapprehension. Some synonyms for sound are solid, firm, stable, healthy, valid, thorough, hard. When you talk about sound sleep, you talk about deep and undisturbed sleep. In other words, you're not waking up just every few minutes. You're sound asleep. Well, remembering definitions, especially long ones, are not easy for us. We have to do some study to get most of it. But let's just say that when somebody's speech is sound, it's logically valid. It has true premises. In other words, it's based on fact, and it agrees with accepted views. It's free from falsehood, from wrong understanding, free from profanity, immorality, and euphemisms. I'll talk about that some more later here. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks, Ephesians 5:4. That's what sound speech is. For another summary of sound speech, if you would turn with me to Philippians 4:8. Here it tells us a lot of things that sound speech consists of. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. and beings, we say the things that we think. I don't think it'd be doing any violence to this passage at all if to say, talk about these things. Because if our mind is on these things, then our talk will be that way too. So why is sound speech or good speech important? You know, we live in a day when words are considered cheap. People will talk a lot, but say little of importance. They'll talk a lot, but say little that they really mean to carry out or abide by. You know, there was a time when people who spoke to a public audience were expected to live up to what they said, and if someone made a serious error or contradicted himself, he could be expected to be taken to task for it. Not really that way anymore. It's been said that the way to tell whether a politician is lying or not is if he has his mouth open, he's lying. Well, unfortunately, that's true. There is, with a lot of people, not much caution or fear of accountability to God or man for what they say. And I would this morning that that's not the way it is among us. Jesus' words still stand for God's part of it. In Matthew, the 12th chapter, and verses 35 to 37, here's what Jesus says about our speech. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth evil things. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. I believe these simple words of Jesus mean exactly what they say. And if I believe them, if I believe what Jesus said here, then I'll be careful what I say. Well, I can't be otherwise. To know that my eternal destiny hangs on the words that come out of my mouth is a very, very sobering proposition. And also to know that the words that come out of my mouth can affect other people's eternal destiny is also a very weighty proposition. In Matthew 18, verse 6, Jesus said, "But whoso shall offend one of these little ones, which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and that he were drowned in the depths of the sea." Now, the word offend here doesn't mean necessarily that you made him mad, but that you led him astray or caused him to believe something that isn't true. The eternal implications of our words is something we do well to remind ourselves of time and again. That is, in spite of what society around us believes or don't believe or says, words have consequences, very serious, long-lasting, and ultimately eternal consequences. Second point, speech is important because it's an index of the human heart, of our character, of who we really are. Back again to Matthew 12, this time I'll read verses 33 to 35. Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and its fruit corrupt, for the tree is known by its fruit. O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth good things, an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth evil things. Very plain, very simple, very powerful language. The implications are inescapable. Sometimes we try to tell ourselves that it isn't so. I try to be careful that the words that I speak give people the impression of me that I want them to have, what I want them to think about me. Well, we can do some of that, but sooner or later, we'll let slip what we really think and how we really are. Abe Lincoln is to have said, "You can fool some of the people all the time. You can fool all of the people some of the time, but you cannot fool all the people all the time." And I want to add to that this morning. You can't fool God any of the time. God knows what's in your heart. Like I say, people put on a front. They say things to cover their real character and feelings, but even then, it leaks out. For example, you show me a person that is always laughing and bantering and making a joke of everything that happens, and I'll show you a person that is insecure, that's lonely, that's afraid, who's not willing to be honest with himself or with others or with God. This kind of person doesn't like to sit still, doesn't like to think deeply or seriously, doesn't like to consider where his life is taking him, doesn't like to think of God or of judgment or of eternity in any serious way. And I know there are people that tend to be more reflective and serious-minded than others, but all of us are aware of our mortality. We know we're not going to be here forever. We know someday we're going to die. We know someday that we will have to meet the judge of all the earth, and that judge will make no mistakes in his judgment, and his verdict will be absolutely eternally final. The person who thinks about this kind of thing will not and can't be and cannot be laughing and joking all the time. Again, you show me a person who is always complaining, always critical of others, always angry at others for what they do or don't do. I'll show you a person who knows that he's not living like he should either. If he would stop and let himself consider, he would know that his own faults are greater than what he blames others for. We reveal a lot of ourselves by what we say, even when we don't mean to. You show me a person who is bitter and unforgiving toward others for their mistreatment of himself. I'll show you a person who refuses to consider the vastness of his own sin and failure before God. You know, we reveal our own heart by what we say, even when we desperately want not to. It's happened to me, and I've heard it from others too. They say something, and then they realize how it sounds, and they said, I didn't mean that. Well, what they really should say is that it was there and it slipped out. Because if it wouldn't have been there, it wouldn't have slipped out. Jesus said, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also, in Matthew 6:21. He also said there in Matthew 12:35, I already read that, but I'm going to read it again. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth good things, an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth evil things. This means that if we have idols, treasures, misplaced affections, different things in our life, our words will reveal them whether we intend to do it or not. Again, speech is an index of the human heart. Thirdly, sound speech reflects sound thinking. We speak what we think. Sound speech reflects sound reasoning, sound deductions. Furthermore, it indicates that the speaker has chosen sound influences in his life, like sound reading, sound doctrine, sound associates or companions, sound fellowship, sound preaching, sound singing. Sound speech indicates a sound faith and understanding of the scriptures. If you would turn with me to Titus chapter 1. Titus chapter 1, verses 9 to 13. Holding fast the faithful word as he has been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and convince the gainsayers, for there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcisions, whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole houses, teaching things which they ought not, for filthy lucre's sake. One of themselves, even a prophet of their own, said, the Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, slow bellies. This witness is true, therefore rebuke them sharply, that they may be sound in the faith. We show by our words whether or not we are sound in the faith. First part of chapter 2. But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in the faith, in charity and patience, the aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love the truth. Notice how much of this involves talking here. He says, speak the things which become sound doctrine. Teach, talking about the aged women and different ones here. Verse 5, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded. In all things, showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine, showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity. Sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. A lot of what he mentions here involves our speech, the things that we say, the things that we teach. Verses 11 to 15 here we have in a nutshell a description of how one lives and thinks that thinks soundly. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared unto all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. Ends up with speaking the things that we believe. All right, another point. Sometimes we can better see something positive when we contrast it to the negative. The Bible mentions many terms for speech that isn't sound, calls it vain speech, which is the opposite of sound speech. When we think about some things and that sound speech is not, it can help us to sharpen our perception on what it is. In Matthew, the 6th chapter and verse 7, Jesus mentions vain repetition. Let's turn to that and read it. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. With God, a lot of words and repetition count for exactly nothing. God's not formally favorably impressed by a lot of talk. You know, when back in the day when Elijah and the prophets of Baal had their contest there on Mount Carmel, the prophets of Baal had a lot of talk and a lot of noise and a lot of yelling and a lot of jumping. God wasn't impressed in the least, and he's still not. The Lord's Prayer, which is in the same, just after verse 7 that I read here, is an example of brevity and conciseness. There's no wasted words. There's no flowery phrases. There's no repetition. Just a simple request and a simple recognition of the fatherhood of God and our dependence on him. That's all it is. So, God is not impressed with a lot of words. Romans 1:21. Here it gives us a source of vain words. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Ever think about where all the corrupt speech is coming from that's so prevalent in our society? Right here. Right here, vain imaginations. Not based on truth, not based on fact, not based on the word of God, but vain imaginations. The rest of the chapter is an apt description of conditions that we see in our society. Because people are not thinking soundly. They're not speaking soundly. Anything not based on biblical truth is a vain imagination. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 6. Here we have more about vain words. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Now, if we want to know what the things are that the wrath of God brings, the wrath of God on the children of disobedience, you just back up to verse 3, fornication, uncleanness, covetousness. Verse 4, filthiness, foolish talking, jesting, which are not convenient. Verse 5, whoremongers, unclean persons, covetousness, idolaters. Those things don't have an inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Any speech that discounts or lessens man's ultimate responsibility to God. You know, the authority and power of God to judge and to punish sin. If we say God doesn't have the authority and the power to do that, that's vain words. Because God is, God can, and God will judge. Vain words. No one will escape the righteous judgment of God. Colossians 2:8. Here he talks about vain deceit. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. You know, man says many things, and he might have many good-sounding reasonings for what he proposes and promotes, but if it's contrary to the word of God, it's vain. Don't believe it or you'll be deceived. 1 Timothy 1:6. Here's something else that's vain. Some having swerved have turned aside unto vain jangling. Well, let's see what they swerve from. Verse 4, neither give heed to fables, endless genealogies, which minister questions rather than godly edifying, which is in the faith, so do. Now the end of the commandment is charity, out of a pure heart and out of a good conscience and a faith unfeigned, from which some having swerved have turned aside into vain jangling. Vain jangling. Noisy arguments. A lot of noise with no substance and truth. A lot of talk with no real meaning. Verse 7, desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say nor whereof they affirm. You know, there's a lot of people that's supposed to be educated and supposed to be smart that are doing just this. Just a lot of talk with no real meaning. 1 Timothy 6:20. O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust, avoiding profane and vain babblings and oppositions of science, falsely so called. We have a lot of that too. Oppositions of science, falsely so called. These people that they pretend to be so educated and so smart, and they'll still believe that the world was here millions of years and that man descended from monkeys. It's meaningless chatter. Second Timothy 2:16. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. And that's exactly what it does. When man doesn't believe in God as his creator, doesn't believe that he will give account to God, it increases to more ungodliness. Speech that makes no sense. It's not based on reality. And again, it might sound good in a way, but it's not real. When people reject God and his word, they forsake the basis for sound reasoning and sound speech. Titus 1:10. I guess I already read this one. For there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers. You find somebody that's what he says isn't true, turn off your attention, because he's going to deceive you. And 3:9. But avoid foolish questions and genealogies and contentions and strivings about the law, for they're unprofitable and vain. You know, there are things that we wonder about in life, and it's okay to do that. But let's not build a doctrine or a belief system on something that is not clear that God hasn't revealed. And there's a lot of that, and there are people that would claim to be sound in the faith that go after those things, but we're better off not to. And then James in chapter 1:26, he talks about vain religion. If any man among you seem to be religious and bridles not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. If you have a person that claims to be religious, but he doesn't control his tongue, it says this man's religion is vain. Because I would say that's one of the requirements that has to happen when we believe in the Lord, on the Lord Jesus Christ, is that our tongue has to be brought under His control. We'll read some more scriptures in James a little later about that. Another point: sound speech reverences God and His Word. In Exodus 20, verse 7, we read, "Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh His name in vain." That's the fourth commandment of the law of Moses. Leviticus 19:12 says, "And ye shall not swear by my name falsely, neither shalt thou profane the name of the Lord thy God. I am the Lord." Well, these are Old Testament scriptures, but the principle, if anything, has been strengthened in the New Testament. In Matthew 5, verses 33 to 37, Jesus talks about swearing. Matthew 5, 33. "Again, ye have heard that it hath been said by them of old time, Thou shalt not forswear thyself, but shalt perform to the Lord thine oath. But I say unto you, swear not at all, neither by heaven, for it is God's throne, neither by the earth, for it is his footstool, neither by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. Neither shalt thou swear by thy head, because thou canst not make one hair white or black, but let your communication be yea, yea, nay, nay, for whatsoever is more than these cometh of evil." James 5:12 says, "Above all things, my brethren, swear not, neither by heaven, neither by the earth, neither by any other oath. But let your yea be yea, and your nay, nay, lest you fall into condemnation." And I would like to say the same goes for euphemisms of the name of God or Jesus or the Holy Spirit or men's oaths. They're sometimes called, and they're culturally more acceptable than is real cursing, but they're used instead of a real oath. And I hesitate to read some of these across the pulpit, but there's words that we hear that are instead of what people or what we know as real cursing. Words like dang and darn and gosh. Geez, chee, frickin'. Those are all words that stand for words that we know as real cursing. Let's not do that. They don't belong in a Christian's vocabulary. Other expressions that we use that don't belong to the Christian is things like my goodness, holy cow, crap, doggone, blasted. Brothers and sisters, we shouldn't be hearing these things among us. Let's not do that, because God is going to hold us accountable for those things. Then using the word of God or expressions of the Scripture in jester's attire is not part of sound speech either. To make a joke out of the Scriptures. Let's not do that. Another point: sound speech is respectful of other people. I'm going to read some scriptures here, and there are no exceptions made for speaking evil of people when they're not worthy of respect. Starting with Ephesians 4:31. Ephesians 4:31, "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Don't speak evil. Titus 3, 1 and 2. Put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work, to speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. Speak evil of how many? No man. James 3, 8 to 12. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries? Neither a vine, either a vine figs, so can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. What does our speech show about what's down inside? James 4:11. Speak not evil one of another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judges his brother speaketh evil of the law and judges the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. There's only one lawgiver. The next verse says there's one lawgiver who is able to save and destroy. So who are you? Who are you that judges another? 1 Peter 3, 8 to 10. Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another. Love us, brethren, be pitiful, be courteous, not rending evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing, knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. Here he says evil for evil. Now, we don't use knives and sticks and guns and so on to render evil for evil, but unfortunately, sometimes with our words, we do. Railing for railing, he says. What's railing? Railing is a vehement or a earnest declaration of somebody else's faults or shortcomings. Now we realize that a lot of people in the world have faults and they come short of what they ought to. But it's not up to us. It's not up to us to dress them down like that. 2 Peter 2, verses 10 to 12. But chiefly then, that walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanness and despise government. Presumptuous are they, self-willed, they're not afraid to speak evil of dignities. Whereas angels, which are greater in power and might not bring railing accusation against them before the Lord. But these, as natural brute beasts, made to be taken and destroyed, speak evil of the things that they understand not, and shall utterly perish in their own corruption. And another similar passage in Jude, in verses 8 to 10. Likewise also these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, speak evil of dignities. Yet Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, when he disputed about the body of Moses, durst not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, "The Lord rebuke thee. These speak evil of those things which they know not. But what they know naturally as brute beasts, in those things they corrupt themselves. Woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain and ran greedily after the error of Balaam for a reward and perished in the gainsaying of Korah. These are spots in your feasts of charity when they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear. Clouds are they without water, carried about of the winds, trees whose fruit withereth without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots, raging waves of the sea." You know, speaking evil of our fellow man is dangerous territory. We know that there's much evil in the world. People do and say much evil. There's much wickedness in high places. But we do much better by doing what it says in 1 Timothy 2, verses 1 to 5. We know things aren't the way they should be, but here's what we should do. I exhort, therefore, first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For it is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. You know, we do a lot more good by praying for those that are in authority, though they are corrupt, though they are wicked, though they might be mean, though they might be a lot of other things they shouldn't be. We do better by talking to God about them in prayer. All right, the final point, sound speech is not hasty or excessive. James 1:19. Therefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be slow to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Proverbs 10:19. In the multitude of words, there wanteth not sin, but he that refraineth his lips is wise. You know, there's one thing that's liable to happen, and almost always does, where there's a lot of talk, there's also sin. Ecclesiastes 5, verses 1 and 2. Keep thy foot when thou goest into the house of God. Be more ready to hear than to give the sacrifice of fools, for they consider not that they do evil. Be not rash with thy mouth, and let not thine heart be hasty to utter anything before God. Why? For God is in heaven, and thou upon earth. Therefore, let thy words be few. That's good advice for all of us. Verse 17, for in the multitude of dreams and many words, there are also diverse vanities, but fear thou God. Ecclesiastes 12, verses 13 and 14. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. You know, judgment is coming. Someday we'll give account for the words that we've spoken. Read a few verses of a poem here. When God up in heaven takes your number down and sends the death angel to bring you around to stand in the judgment with Jesus the Son, friend, how will it be when it's all said and done? The excuses and reasons you thought were so strong by which you defend yourself all the day long, will they stand as the truth by the judge on the throne or burn like the chaff when it's all said and done? There's more to this life than the here and the now. Someday to the mandate of heaven we bow. Eternity's verdict at the end of the run. Friend, what will you prove when it's all said and done? You know, we might could make a convincing case. But if it doesn't stand before God, what have we gained? Nothing. Let's pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, we're grateful again this day for your blessings and your mercies to us. We thank you for the word which we have discussed, which we have heard. Dear God, help us each one to take it to ourselves and to let it bring forth fruit in our lives. And may it help us on the way to heaven, the way to more perfection in Christ. I just pray that you would bless the word to each heart as we go from here. Help us to be mindful this coming week of our words and the importance that they have and the things that they imply about us and what they can do for others, both for good and for evil. Pray that you would be with us and keep us in thy care. In Jesus' name. Amen.